Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's a long way from his days announcing the lunch menu to the rest of his high school class, which is how far I've come from announcing cheeseburgers
announcing
and lunch
the menu.
To announcing Chris Sims' top five safety rankings.
Man, you've come a long way.
Yes.
You really have. I mean, you host the Derby, so what? You host Chris Sims on Button. Wow. I mean, the hell with your damn cheeseburgers and announcing that. And, I mean, you're just the hardest working man in sports right now. Now, you came back here to do this damn show. Mm-hmm. What a good friend you are. You're just a professional. Right out of California, Saturday evening.
Yep.
I tuned in.
Yeah.
My Aunt Wendy, you know, she's all about the horse racing in general. Plus, she likes you.
Sure.
Right? And she doesn't see straight. She thinks you're handsome. So we're still trying to check her eyes. But so I tune in. What a race it was.
Unbelievable. It was a good race.
But thanks for coming back, man.
Well, I did it from here in studio. So
oh,
we
you
were
did
not
you really?
There in California. Yeah. We tricked you. We
got
you.
You
got
totally
him, everyone.
Tricked me.
We got him, everyone.
Yeah, I never saw you.
Yeah.
So I kept hearing you. And I
keep telling them, put us on camera more. We got to make sure we're not lying to the audience that we're out there. But yeah, we did that from studio. We did used to go out there for a number of years.
I thought so.
But yeah, the travel budget, I think we've reduced it a little bit. So we can send this desk to Combine in Super Bowl week. So we
this is what makes every. You can't go to California. The desk has to go to Indianapolis, okay? It's all we can afford here at NBC right now.
No, I am getting pumped. I'm getting pumped for the Derby. You know, horse racing in the, you know, the national eye, certainly it's like Kentucky Derby. You got the Preakness, and that's, you know, Triple Crown.
Yeah, right.
That's about it, maybe. Breeders' Cup, get some more of the diehards, yeah. But It's a fun event. It's just like there are so many resources that go into it. It's just like all of our on-air people, except for Chris Sims, they give you that one off somehow, are involved in it. So I am looking forward to it. But
yeah, it's cool.
It did not take away from the time that I got to look at the film of defensive tackles.
Wow.
In
you got to look
football.
At big horses' asses, and now you got to look at big humans' asses.
Great call.
Right?
A lot of similarities.
A lot of similarities there, right? Need some big Clydesdales down there in the middle.
Yeah.
Got to have those big horses there. Stop the run game, you know, push the pocket in the pass game. Another good group, Amon, that we're going to break down today. I mean, really is. I mean, as I get down here, and, you know, I got a few position groups I'm still not all the way up on here, right? But as I look at it and just go, okay, I think I got the main position groups down that everybody looks at to go, like, this is the groups this year.
Quarterback, wide receiver,
right.
Offensive line.
Right. Defensive tackle now. Add that to it, right? We talked about DBs. There'll be a few, certainly a part of the conversation, right? But man, wow. Defensive linemen, offensive linemen, it really looks like it's a first round that's setting up to be – like that. Other thing that jumps out to me as I get a better hold of this, and, you know, again, like I haven't watched Brock Bowers and studied him yet.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's any running backs in the first round. There's no linebackers or safeties, I think, that are in the first round conversation. So I feel like I probably have seen most of the people that are in that first round combo up to this point. You know, I do look at it and go, linemen, like, extraordinaire. And I also look at it and just through that lens of, like, the big picture first round, right? Where I go, I'm not so sure. I keep seeing all these mock drafts with, like, you know, five and six receivers going in the first round. I keep coming away with it the more I watch going, the main four are going in the first round. I wouldn't be sold that any of the other main four are going in the first round. I wouldn't, you know, like we talked about. You know, neighbors, the two LSU kids, Odunze and Harrison Jr., they stand alone in the receiver group. There's a little bit of a drop-off after that, right? You know, I love Roman Wills. Somebody, I don't think he's a first-round talent, right? I think he's a top of the second, mid-second, somewhere in there, probably realistically.
Yeah.
Right? But I see some other names thrown out there as first round, and that's the ones where I go, ooh, I think as we get into real football and the draft comes around, team's going to go, wait, there's 10 other receivers that are this close together.
Exactly.
I'll wait to the second round. We need this D-tackle right now because it falls off a cliff after another two are gone here, and we can't take that chance. And that's where I think we're going to see.
We've been saying that for a little while here.
Yeah.
You think the elite guys are going to be going, and
yes.
You know, they're still going to get paid.
Yes.
But like you mentioned, it has to be this way because more players are playing receiver 7-on-7, all this different factors that are involved here. And so now, yeah, if you're one of that second tier players, you're going to be like a running back at a certain point, it seems like. You know, it's just like teams will wait and say, we'll just take whichever one kind of falls to us.
Exactly right. I think so. Because you just, like you said, the numbers, how good they are, there's going to be a group every year where you go, okay, 1, 2, and 3, 4 are good, but
yeah.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 have like a grade that's like 0.01 off each other, right? Or it's like the exact same grade, except what do you like this guy? He's taller, this one's shorter, right? We have them the same grade. So that's where, again, to your point there, I'll be interested to see how that plays out draft.
And I wouldn't even be surprised if those elite guys fall a little bit more in the draft.
I wouldn't be shocked either.
Because you've heard Marvin Harrison, some people say he's the best player in the draft.
Yeah.
Some people say it's slam dunk number 4. I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, I think there's, I don't know about that either. I do think him and Neighbors will be the top two receivers off the draft.
Yeah.
And then it's just, where do the other two go? Thomas and Odunze.
All right, so we're getting a little off track, but not really, because it's these big guys that are causing you to have that thought.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle today, you got your top 5, then we'll have some others receiving votes after that. Let's start off with a question. Ante Duryea says, yo, Chris and Ahmed, big fan of the pod, been listening for almost 3 years. How have your defensive tackle evaluations changed over the last few years? It seems like the position requires more versatility. There are more viable body types than ever at the position, or am I completely wrong?
No, you're not wrong. There's more body types, versatility, depth at that position. It's part of the reason we just talked about a little bit there with the offensive line value. There's just more good defensive linemen coming out in the draft every year than there are NFL offensive linemen. You know, we see teams, they lose an offensive lineman, we go, oh my gosh, you know, oh, they're in trouble, they lost an offensive lineman, they don't have their starting 5. We go that defensive lineman, we go, oh, they missed this guy, oh, they'll put in the other guy, he's a freak too. I mean, it's just, it's not as hard to find that depth and what we're finding there, let alone I think the versatility of defenses, and that has gone up so much where, you know, I know we have the team that plays Seattle scheme and still all that, but then you take the rest of the NFL, like, defenses are multiple now, right? They want a guy that's like, wait, I need, on this situation, he needs to play D-tackle, but two plays later from now, I need him to play D-end. He's got to be able to do both. And then, you know, when I put him back at D-tackle, I actually need him to do two different types of D-tackle. I'd like him to be able to do, like, 2-gap, and he can hold somebody up. And then I'd like him to be super explosive and shoot a gap and be disruptive and fuck the play up every now and then, right? So I think there's all of that that goes into this. And because, you know, I think football has become so much more situational and specific that, yeah, there's a little bit more, you know, coloring outside the canvas as far as what we think of D-tackles anymore, right? Where it's like, and when we grew up, it was just like, whoever's the biggest, strongest, immovable guy, you put him a D-tackle. Now it's not always about that. Some teams go, I'm not worried about my guy. If he gets double-teamed and they move him, so what? You know, the next play, he's going to shoot this gap, get skinny, and make a tackle for a 5-yard loss, right? So there's different things that people are looking for. There's different skill sets along that defensive line.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've changed my evaluations to get specifically about the question a whole lot. You know, I feel like I've learned more, and I think it's a position where we talked before the pod. You need to know the position, a little nuance. You got to have a little backlog of history to go. You know, a good defensive tackle game sometimes could be like, he made no plays.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything, right? He busted back in the line of scrimmage a few times, made the running back move, made the quarterback move off a spot, right? But a lot of the times, if you look like at a game and go, oh, there's 60 snaps, and oh, this guy had 10, 12 good plays, that's like, you played awesome at D-tackle.
And a good play may be just standing up to a double team and not losing
ground.
Not
moving, and the running back just runs into the pile, and now he has nowhere to go, and everybody tackles him. But exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's what you got to look for. Then the biggest thing too is, like we always talk about, what is he being asked to do? And then you have to decipher through that to go, wait, he's not going to do that in the NFL. He's going to do this. Can he do this? Can he, right? And we're going to talk about some guys like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do think in, like, in years past, there's been guys misevaluated because I think the draft community or certain people go, well, that doesn't look that good, whatever. Daron Payne is always the first one that comes to my mind. Daron Payne came out and people were like, what? Washington's going to take him in the top 20? He's a second round pick. And I'm, you know, and I'm, this is back at the Bleacher Report days, but I always think of him just because I go, people were, he doesn't make enough plays. He doesn't get in the backfield. Mm-hmm. And I went, he was never allowed to get in the backfield. He was on a part of a group at Alabama where they were so good. They were just like, Nick was like, stand him up. Don't let anybody move. We'll never be at a position against any play ever. This is the safe way for us to win the game instead of you having six or seven highlight plays, but six or seven highlight plays for them might happen too because you're just renegating, right?
Yeah.
So you have to go, wait, no, this guy's awesome. When he does get a chance to disrupt, he does, but it's just few and far between. And okay, does that make work? What's he being asked? Oh, he's asking to two gap all the game long or hold his ground against a double team. That doesn't mean he can't do the other things.
Right.
So you got to make sure you find some evidence of that and try to piece it all together. And that's kind of the fun thing about the position a lot of times, because this is one position where I feel like more than any in college football, people play out of position more than ever. Mm. Because in the NFL, where this position is great, is they're going to go, we're going to put you at your position. You can just thrive and be your best. In college football, they just go, well, we just want to get the best 11 on the field, and you're the freakiest, so we're going to put you at, like, the toughest spot. Now, you don't even actually get to show your skills, but we think you can do that because the guy that we need to play at the position you think you're best at, there's no way he can do that. So yeah. We're going to put you at nose tackle, even though you're probably best at defense end, and that's what you'll be in the NFL, right? And that, if that makes sense, you know, that's a big part of this. And that's why I do find it fun evaluating this position. It's one of my favorite positions to evaluate.
Is there a guy in this, real quick, is there a guy that's like a nose tackle? And you see him more as a nose tackle that we're going to talk about in your top five?
Out of the top five guys, there's a guy like that has some nose tackle tendencies,
yeah,
right? But no, we're not going to get into it this year of having a true, like, Tavondre Sweat is a nose tackle, right? Okay?
Oh, yeah, that's
big
true.
Texas guy.
JB Twoot says, first of all, hope Ahmed Fried is doing the heavy lifting given his experience on big butts. That's true. I did look at all these big butts. More importantly, what happened to the traditional nose tackle? Gilbert Brown, Tony Siragusa just don't exist. What changed? I get why there's less value, but no value?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit, I think, goes into the versatility and the, like, no longer, defenses just don't go, we play 3-4 and we play 3-4 every play no matter what, right? Yeah. That's over, right? So, what we had, and this also goes into versatility of defense and the freak of natures we have at the defensive line right now,
mm-hmm.
where, yeah, like Dexter Lawrence can play nose tackle. That's pizza in my eye. Yeah, he's that typical way. He's 330 pounds, right?
Yeah.
He can two-gap you and do that. But at the same time, the Giants don't want to line up in that every time. And they're going, wait, he's awesome. Let's move him here because he can shoot a gap. He can be a mismatch on a guard and do that. He can do both, let alone, too, here's the other aspect of it. Like the positions become so freaky that guys like Chris Jones now, you watch Chris Jones. He lines up everywhere. He has a number of snaps every game. He plays nose tackle. Right? So, yeah, he's not your typical, what we would think of, old school Jim Burt, right? Refrigerator Perry nose tackle, right? You know, these guys now, some of these D tackles, they're so good and so freaky at so many things. It's just like, hey, this defense, yeah, we need a nose tackle. But, oh, now it's second and six, and it's a different variety of plays and personnel. I'd like you to move over here a little bit. I need a little more disruption, a little more, wait, you know, get on the edge of the guard, do something like that. So it's not lost. It's not gone. They're still out there, right? Vita Vea is nose tackle, right? Jalen Carter does nose tackle stuff. Jordan Davis does nose tackle stuff. They're there, but just the day of lining up their play after play after play, that's not there anymore.
And we have the defensive technique. Alignments, just to give you a clear picture if you're watching on Peacock or YouTube here. It was a lot easier back in our day, like you said. It was just like either nose tackle, defensive tackle, defensive end.
Is he head up on the center or has he got a shade nose, right? I mean, that's all
edge,
it was.
Now you still got defensive end, but they're not edge. Yeah. And so here's all the different alignments that you're looking at. The three tech, the nose tackle, the nose shade, five tech, that's the defensive end.
These are, and you know, really, like when I look at all these are all D tackles still. right? Even the five and the four tech. I think for the most part, I'm still looking at more times than not is a D tackle.
It's edge and then this.
Yes, right. There's the exactly right. And you know, the edge is the guy who lines up way outside the tackle or way outside the tight end. And it's all about, hey, he's coming off the edge to get after the quarterback. That's what it's all about. Even these guys at the four and five technique, if you're watching on YouTube and seeing this diagram here, you know, they're still more times than not being lined up at that position and going, wait, no. You got to man up against that tackle and hold your ground and maybe two gap them, right? And those are special human beings out there at five tech that are dealing with this type of D tackles. Those are the kind of guys that are like, Richard Seymour for the Patriots back in the day. My dad's team of Leonard Marshall, who was a freak of nature. The DeForest Buckners of the world,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
These giant who go, wait, I can take big offensive tackle who's 6'7", 340, and I can just me and him all day long, and he'll never move me, coach. Like, no problem. Oh, you want me to hold him up, coach? No problem. I'll do that. I mean, that's what that guy is, but all different varieties of what's needed as far as an interior defensive line.
To your point, Gilbert Brown had just 7 career sacks in 10 seasons. Dexter Lawrence has 21 in 5 seasons. Vita Vea has 23.5 in 6 seasons, so those nose tackle guys are playing a little bit all over and doing more.
Yes.
Doing different things.
We're seeing the freakiest group of D tackles in the history of the sport right now. Like, period. Like, again, Dexter Lawrence at 345, the way he moves and does that, right? I mean, that's the reason we're talking about offensive linemen, because there's just like, what? This guy's moving and running like this? Jordan Davis, like we talked about? Quinnen Williams, you know? Derrick Brown? In Carolina, right? I mean, we had a run here of a few years where I think we had Quinnen Williams 1 year and then Derrick Brown. And I think 2 years in a row, I was like, I think it's the best defensive tackle I've ever seen. I've never seen a defense. And then last year, remember with Jalen Carter, I was the same thing. I was going, I think it's the best defensive tackle I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's what we're getting into is guys of this at this position right now. I mean, Vita Vea, again, you might remember me at that time. I was like, he's a top 10 pick. Why is he not? Why is Dexter Lawrence not a top 10? Like, what was it? Because I don't even think the mold had changed in the brains of the NFL people still. They were still like, wait, these are big. These are nose tackles. And then once one did it, started to push the pocket, everybody was like, wait, this guy can make people miss a little bit as far as pass protection and push the pocket. We need to get more of these big guys like this.
All right, so we're already behind schedule, right. But Pete wants to know that he will talk about Dexter Lawrence for 90 minutes if we're okay with that.
Yeah.
Just cancel these
sexy
rankings.
Dexy.
Giants fan himself here. So let's get into, before we get into your rankings this year, we always like to do this, keep you accountable,
yep.
Show you where you messed up.
Thank
we
you.
Like to, we like to do that because you may have forgotten where you messed up.
Yep,
your rankings last year, yeah, Jalen Carter, number one. You did not mess up there. He certainly looked like the number one, but it was a little bit of a weird year for the defensive tackles. And I was looking this up.
Yeah.
13 rookie defensive tackles got at least 20% of the defensive snaps last year. Of those, PFF rated Kalijah Kancey as their 10th best, Mozzie Smith 11th, Brian Breesy as their 12th, and you had guys like Kobe Turner, who was a third rounder, Keanu Benton from Pittsburgh was a second rounder, but he was up there, Carl Brooks for Green Bay, Bowling Green was a sixth
rounder. I loved
rounder.
Him, yeah.
So it does seem like this is a position where you're like, don't overthink it, right? Big dude, strong, I mean, like Mozzie Smith epitomized that, the strongest guy out there, maybe.
Yeah.
But it didn't translate the first year in the NFL.
No, it didn't. And we don't know about Mozzie. Mozzie was the thing he was the guy. He's the guy that we worry about in the draft every year. Wait, I see the skills. There's some elite stuff about him. But, you know, we came in at that time, and I remember saying, hey, he's really athletic. But, man, there's a lot of plays where he's very content being blocked, and I don't know. Mm. But, damn, he's 330, and he moves like that. Like, I'm going to put him in the top five, right? You know, that's where, knowing the man and what makes the man, and, you know, like we talk about sometimes that NFL environment, does that bring out the best in the guy, or does he start to whittle away and go, whoa, this isn't for me? Right, so we'll see where that goes, but I think it's up in the air about Mozzie for sure. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And hey, there's at this position too, there's a little adjustment period, maybe not for the top guys always, but really almost for all of them. It's rare you have one that just comes in and does what Jalen Carter did. Like Jalen Carter, we got to week 8 last year, and I think I was on here a few times going, he might be the best D tackle in football already.
Might
like
have been
he's
week
in
three,
right? I was like, he's in the combo. It's right up there with that. But we did see Derrick Brown. It took him. We're talking about him. He's $96 million 4-year contract. It took him a few years.
Yeah.
Quinnen Williams, he wasn't a superstar right away in year one. It was probably towards the end of year two, and then year three, we were like, whoa, oh my gosh, he's awesome. So there is there. Again, it is a position where they're being asked to do a lot more. Like we talk about, the offensive line is doing way more than they ever had to deal with in college, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we make fun of offensive lines in college because it's like step to the left, step to the right. It's this run play, and it's this run play. That's all we got, guys. That's it. So defensive tackles, the game's easy for them in that way in college. Now in the NFL, not only are they going, holy shit, I've never had a human like this over me blocking me. Wait, there's 90 million runs. They doubled me. They kicked me out. They trapped me. You know, a pulling guard came and hit me one time, let alone like these guys, offensive linemen, know how to use their hands in the NFL. I'm still a beginner in that way. So that's where I think there's a little bit of a learning curve. We'll see where it goes there. I'm a little worried about Mozzie. The other ones I'm not quite as much worried about as we go forward. Those first two are damn good, though, Carter and Kalijah Kansi.
It's a little game theory in the draft, too, because if it does take, you know, 3 years for a guy to develop, it's just like, all right, you kind of wasted those rookie years, right? Because it's so valuable to have a defensive tackle because they're getting paid $20 million, the elite ones, right? But it's like if you do find one of those elite ones, and Pete's noting right here, you usually reward them, lock them up, and other teams do not have access to that player.
No,
there.
You don't let that guy out of the building. That's exactly right. You don't let Matabuke, Chris Jones, Dexter Lawrence, Jalen Carter, Christian Wilkins got out of the building because they spent so much money on other people that they couldn't figure it out, right? But yeah, it's rare to see that guy walk in free agency because, again, we're talking about humans. A lot of times they're going, wait, they're 330, they're that strong, and they're that athletic? What? Like, that's usually where a team does not want to give up on that guy.
Ed Oliver, another one, maybe a little bit of a late bloomer here.
Yeah, sure, but definitely. Like, Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, he came into the league and kicked ass right away. But, again, other examples of what we're talking about. You don't let those guys out the door once you got them on your football team.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
We have made you wait long enough, but I think that was good context about the position, where it is right now. I mean, it's like that's what these are. These are like we talk about the position, the state of the position, where it is in college and the NFL, and now we're getting into the rankings. You have, what, three tiers here for these guys. Your first tier, you got two players in your first tier.
Yep.
Day one difference makers.
You know it.
Both these guys will come in
day
one and be difference makers. And if they're not, we'll say it will happen in year two. That's what we'll come back and say. We're pretty sure we saw some good things. But your number one player for defensive tackles in the 2024 draft class is?
Texas Fight. One of my favorite guys at the combine, too. Not only like one of my favorite players to watch in the draft, but one of my favorite humans that I met in the draft process. Byron Murphy II from Texas, the Longhorns. Yes. I mean, incredible ball of muscle and explosion. That's what he is. You talk about muscle, explosion, pliable, bendable, right? Disruption, yet can hold his ground at an incredible rate for a guy that's, you know, not the biggest defensive tackle in the world, right? All of that is amazing, right? The athleticism's amazing. So that's where I look at it right off the bat and go, wait, not only can this guy just win with pure explosion, quickness, be disruptive, do those type of things, right? You know, the next play on defense, they go, hey, wait, we need to play eyes, shade, nose, and now we need you to hold your ground and don't be disruptive and don't let them move you. And he can do that too, right? Along the lines of that conversation we were just having of the versatility there. So he's awesome that way. He's awesome in one-on-one. He's very good and a good anchor for a guy his size against the double teams. And like a Jalen Carter last year, he wins wrestling matches, right? Where it's like, okay, it's a stalemate, and oh no, and he's on a knee, and it looks like he might not. Oh, what? He got the guy off him, and then he still made the tackle, right? That to me was very Jalen Carter-ish of last year, where I'd see times where I'd go, he's on both knees, and he just fought the guy off and got up and made a tackle. And that's what's incredible about this guy. He is a big ball of muscle, my man Byron Murphy.
Yeah, he was the Big 12 Defensive Lineman of the Year. His teammate, actually, Tavondre Sweat, was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Perhaps we'll get to him here.
I got to say something about that.
Yeah.
Okay. That to me, I don't even know how that's possible.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Yeah, right? You watched a little.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I want to be silly and go, all the people that vote for Big 12 things, their votes need to be rescinded. Like, they got to be rescinded. How can you watch a game of Texas and not go, number 90 is the best player on their defense, and you're going to give it to the other guy? Just why? Because he's big? He's the biggest person out there? That, to me, is like just, I don't even get it. One guy is dominating and everywhere. The other guy, you see him every now and then. Let's make him the Defensive Player of the Year. Like, what a crock of shit that is.
I'll tell you what, if you run at Tavondre Sweat, it's not going to be fun.
Well, no.
But if you run a little bit away from him, I think you're going to be okay.
You're okay, right, yeah. Right. Let alone, again, Tavondre Sweat, there's plays where you just go, hey, I'd like to see more. You're too big and strong to be blocked that easily or to be that content with being blocked, right?
Yeah. Let's not make this a bash on Sweat.
No, we're not. We're going to talk about Sweat later.
So we're more on Murphy here. Yeah. But first, like you mentioned, you did talk to him at the combine. You fell in love with him.
Yeah.
Maybe a man crush here.
Yeah.
This is a man crush.
It's a man crush for sure.
So here is what he said to you guys at the combine.
What do I do best? Stop the run. I feel like that's what I do best. I feel like, I'm a force in the run game. I feel like, whatever needs to be done in the run, I'm there. I make plays. I can just stop the run at any time,
You can't move your ass.
Yeah.
I mean, it's strong and you're compact.
All right. I've been knowing that, ever since I was, a child. Like, I always been,
you've always had the
rocked up.
8 years old, were like, everyone was like, damn, he's got muscles.
Yeah, I came out swole, so, I've been like this. I've really been like this my whole life. So.
He came out
he's
swole.
Awesome. He's awesome. He really is. It looks like he came out swole. Because, I always start my evaluations with a talk of the body. Right. I always, my first paragraph is usually just talking in the body, kind of painting that picture in my own brain. Right. And, just a ball of power, not sloppy, dense as hell. Love his legs. Legs are elite. Yeah, he's 6 foot, but he's high cut waist and his arm length is not bad for being, 6 feet tall. But this is one that it's kind of a no brainer. As soon as you turn it on, you just go, wait, one guy's getting off the ball way quicker than everybody else. One guy is extremely explosive. Who's that guy? Oh, it's number 90, right? The get off, the quicks, the change of direction, right? They're off the charts for his size, right? His strength is off the charts. The bend, acceleration, like we talked about, the pliable, the fluidity of his movements is really impressive, right? Extremely powerful at the point of attack, right? Low pads, great legs, right? Can anchor in there against double teams, right? Wins in a lot of weird positions like I talked about. That to me is essential for you look at good tackles in the NFL. Right? You're not going to always be in a good position. That when the tackle and guard double team every now and then, you're going to be like, whoa, I'm bent over sideways. And how do you recover off that? Are you going to go into the ground and just get, pancaked? Or are you going to be able to somehow fight it off and get back into the play a little bit?
Yeah.
And you got to do that because you're going to have a handful of plays in every NFL game that are going to be like that. He is amazing at that. His balance is unreal, right? When you try to cut block him, go at his legs, maybe he is engaged with somebody and then somebody hits him on the side, right? Like a lineman who's going up to the second level. He stays on balance, right? He's always where he's supposed to be. He's got very good hands. He's got great instincts and eyes. He sees the ball. He sees what's going on. Even as he's being blocked or double teamed, you can tell, right? He's got that no regard for his body aspect that I like. Oh, I'm being blocked, but the guy's running through here. I'm going to go out there and put my head and face in there. He's going to hit me, and I'm going to take a big shot, but he's going to get tackled. He's going down. He had that. So that's what I really, really loved about him. But the ability to get off blocks was special as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he can do it a lot of different ways. I loved watching him, and I do have a man crush, by the way.
His strength, awareness, his balance against Alabama, he had 5 pressures. I looked at all those. He split double teams, showed some speed around the edge on one pressure, did that against Oklahoma as well.
Like,
so he's got some quickness here.
Yeah.
So the strength and all that is there. You did mention it, the size and the height. So if we look at his decagon here, it is going to be an interesting-looking decagon because the athletic stuff there, he's got massive hands in the 97th percentile. The 40-yard dash was in the 91st percentile. The 10-yard split,
incredible.
83rd. Height, though, in the 2nd percentile. Weight, 28th. Wingspan, 14th. And arm length, a little bit longer, but still below average at 22.
Yeah, that's what will stop him from being a top 10 or top 12 pick in the draft. That's going to end that, right? But that's why, you know, I think somewhere between 15 and 25 in that range, right? That's when I think we see the door open up for Byron Murphy. I do. You know, he's a little different, right? He's not going to make some of the old school, wait, I got to have a defensive tackle with this kind of wingspan and all that. They're not going to feel comfortable. But as we're seeing in the NFL right now, there's value with these guys, this disruption guys, right? Teams aren't just like we talk about lining up in the same place every time. Or even if they're lining up in the same place, they're asking their guys like, hey, when he says set hut, we want you to go 2 gaps over. We want you to slant this way. We want you to stunt that way, right? So he's going to be really good at that. And then when I look at it too and go, he's the kind of guy where when you stunt, and we talk about this a lot of times where, like, you know, the guy's being asked to slant and stand a lot, stunt and slant a lot, and he gets moved easily. And I go, well, yeah, he's told to go that way, and now he's got a 320-pound man on his back. It's hard to stop, right? He's one of the few people you're going to find out there that can kind of, like, do that and then be like, no, I'm stopping, even though you're on my back trying to push me the way I was going, right? So that's where he's damn good, right? But, yeah, this is more along the lines of a guy we talked about in the top 5 from last year. It's a Kalijah Kancey. It's an Aaron Donald-ish type of football player. It's a Sheldon Rankins, who was a first-rounder out of Louisville. I think he's better than Sheldon Rankins coming out. There's no doubt about it, right? I think it's better than Kalijah Kancey last year, and I love Kalijah Kancey. Kalijah might have been more athletic. I think this guy's stouter and more powerful. That's where I really like him. One-on-ones versus guards, forget about it.
Yes.
Right? He's phenomenal. Right? What else? What do you want to add to that? I know you wanted to say something.
I looked up his negative, because PFF separates the negatively graded run plays.
Yeah.
And so I always like to look at those guys, like, how are they getting, when they get beat, how do they get beat?
Yes, right.
And his were almost exclusively, and this was rare for the other, his were almost exclusively double teams where he did a pretty good job of holding
his ground. It wasn't bad. Like, he just gets hit and he gets turned. He might lose a yard or two, but you're like, okay. I mean, you're going to get.
Everyone else kind of lost some one-on-one battles, like, rarely
never
showed
up. Never loses
on
a one-on-one.
Yeah.
Right. It's so rare. Really damn good player. Like we said, I think we hit it all, really, when it comes to him and somehow, some way. But, you know, can get skiddy, arm over, you know, speed to power, the power rip, right, where he runs into somebody and, like, jars him back and then he rips him to the ground and goes by him, right? He can avoid a blocker and go around him and make a tackle that way. You know, got a little spin move you see in the pass rush. Really, you know, impressive, impressive football player. No question the number one defensive tackle in the draft for me.
PFF said perhaps nothing better sums up Murphy's strength than that he played nose tackle despite 360-pound Tavondre Sweat's presence along Texas's defensive line.
It's context clues. We talk about that, right, with the DBs and some of these guys. It says a lot. Hey, we got a huge human, one of the biggest on earth.
Yeah.
We don't want him being here. We think you're actually stronger than he is.
So this is where he's being mocked right now. About in the top 20s, he was like a third-round guy back in December.
Gosh,
so now
was he really?
The real professionals have started to take a look at some tape here and give their feedback because he has shot up now. And so he is, looks like...
Just inside of 20 now,
but
maybe.
You think that maybe, like, what, 10 to 20 range?
I think that's about it, right? You know, I would like to be more specific, probably 12 to 20, 12 to 25 maybe. But right in that range, that's kind of where I would see it happening.
I think his value is 29 to the Detroit Lions in the first round. I think that's probably would be proper value.
You don't need him.
You've
got enough big people
and
D linemen now. You're all right.
I just want to have options when we get to number 29.
You want just the best team ever. That's what you want.
All right, so there's your number 2, but he is not alone in this tier. You have another player in this tier, and this is a player that when we did edge rankings, there were a few homies that were like, hey, what about this guy?
That's
hey,
right.
Well, how come you didn't talk about this guy? Because we have him as the number two defensive tackle, versatile defensive tackle. And that player is?
Darius Robinson, Missouri. Man, what? How do you not like watching Darius Robinson tape? First off, the first play I'll say to our listeners and the people that send questions in, I think I saw him come off the edge and I went, oh, no. Oh, gosh. Maybe he isn't an elite defensive end. Uh-oh. I think he came off and he dominated a run play, right? And I was like, oh, no. Maybe he wasn't even made it. Maybe I messed up, right? But as I went on, no. We got it right. He's a defensive tackle. This is what he is. Now, again, I didn't make that determination blind, right? You know I talked to people in football, and I knew people in football were more evaluated as a D-tackle than DN from everything I – so that's the reason I waited so long, okay? But – I think it starts just with, like, you want to talk about the Greek gaudiest of bodies ever, right? That's where this starts with this guy, too. You know I love Byron Murphy's body. This is a totally different body. This is, like, you know, tall, long, shoulders, arms, great legs, cut up, chiseled, broad-shouldered, 285-pound Greek god statue is what we got of Darius Robinson. Incredible get off, incredible upper body hand arm strength, like insanity in the membrane when it comes to that department, right? He gets his hands on any, he has got the most violent get off, put his hands on the shoulders of the chest of an offensive lineman and control that human being like he's a toy of in the draft. He is the best in that department. Now, he might not be the best as bending and pliable like a Byron Murphy, right? His game's a little bit more upright, but still an absolute freak, right? When you talk about the first step, the quick, violent hands, and then the ability to shed and just shock blockers. I mean, look at this guy. This is 285. He looks like he's got a body like a 205-pound DB has, yeah. Right? I mean, dominant. Everywhere. The hell with the stats. It is fuck the play up extraordinaire. Disruption, right? Throwing blockers out of the way. Yeah, he doesn't get the tackle, but the running back's like, oh, no, I'm not going there. He's there, right? I mean, it's incredible that way. He can, like I said, he can play a little stuff upright and stiff, but it's not bad. And then he makes up for it with the great physicality and hand strikes, and he keeps legs moving on contact always. That's where he's really good. I mean, he sells out. Like we talk about with Byron Murphy, maybe even more in this department with Darius Robinson. Like, no regard for his body, right? I'm going to get crushed here. I don't care. I'm going to dive in front of the moving truck and take one for the team because we got to get him down, right? Amazing. Big moment football. Amazing. Right, I start to go through games, Georgia, a few of the other games, and late in the game, they need a play, the defense. Damn, Darius Robinson shows up. He knows what time it is when it's time to make a play.
And
right?
Yeah, and he played in their bowl game, too, which he didn't need to do.
No,
he played
in
the bowl game against Ohio State. I like that, too. 22 years old, does turn 23 in September. He's from Southfield, Michigan, which is right close to Detroit. So another player who, out of respect for the Lions and hosting the draft, he should be available there.
Oh, he's got Detroit-type attitude. I could see that. I like it.
So he played 5 seasons at Missouri. The first 4 were at defensive tackle. Then he moved over to edge last season. Nathan Witt was one of the homies. He goes, hey, what about Darius Robinson out of Missouri? Are you considering him a defensive tackle, or was he not good enough to make that list? And so he wanted to know about this, too. And so Missouri played him at both spots, and you can see last year compared to the first 4 years at Mizzou.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he can do anything, right? He's a freak of nature, so he can do it all. His best position is going to be defensive tackle. He doesn't have the type of first step and speed and explosion that is going to scare NFL elite tackles with, like, oh, no, here comes the speed rush. He's going to go around me,
yeah,
right?
As an edge, he used his strength than his speed.
Exactly right. There's very few plays where you see him actually get around the edge and go, oh, wow, he snuck by that guy with speed, right, or using his hands. It's usually he comes into you full speed, he locks out those arms, and he tries to take the offensive tackle on a magic carpet ride into the quarterback's legs, right? I mean, that's what he's trying to do. So that's where I think he is better on the edge. And then, you know, back to our chart. Yeah. If you want to look at that, like, he's a what I would call a 3 technique or a 5 technique. He'd be perfect. He's got plenty of that strength we talk about to be like, oh, what? Lane Johnson? You want to line? I'll line up right in front of you. Let's see. Let's get after it. I can hold my ground. I don't need help from anybody else. They don't need to stun me. It'll just be me and you. He's capable of that.
Maybe don't like egg him on
like
that.
Well, I wouldn't egg him on either. I wouldn't egg him on either. But I don't know. Maybe if I looked like Darius Robinson, I would egg him on. I don't know.
Good point.
But yeah, you look at that 4-5, mm-hmm. and then that 3, that's what he is. Right? With, okay, and occasionally if you want to let him line up wide outside and just use his speed and just try to crash and collapse the pocket from the outside, you'll love that too. But shedding gaps, two-gapping, all of that is off the charts good, right? He's one of the safest picks in the draft, right? He's one of those guys where you just go, you know, the floor is he's our starting 3 technique or 5 technique for like 10 years, and he's like real good, right? Like, there's no bust factor with this human being, okay? I think I talked about the selling out, right. The speed to power on the edge, the shedding the blocks, all of that, right? I think when I looked at him as a football player, and if I had to throw out names here, to me, it's more DeForest Buckner, right? It's that guy. If you look at DeForest Buckner, right, Eric Armstead, you know, they're a little heavier in weight, but it's the same arm length. It's in the ballpark. I think it's more that type of guy. Right. You know, I did write Jadeveon Clowney in a lot of ways because when he's on the edge, he looks like that. He's not as athletic as Clowney. He's more powerful than Clowney. Clowney, I think, was like 260-something coming out, right? This guy's a bigger human being and a little more power-based.
An anonymous scouting director in the NFC on NFL.com says he's still learning to play. Kind of reminds me of Keon White, he says to him.
Oh, I
Patriots
hear that.
Patriots second-round pick in 2023, traits and what he could become. We do have his Decagon, too, which is a little misleading because he is being compared to edge guys in this Decagon, which shows the hand size, arm length, all the percentiles here. He's definitely one of the bigger edge guys. You see the athletic qualities would be on the lesser end of the edge guys, which is speaks to your point of why he is more of a 3 technique or 5 technique.
Yeah, that's right. He's an inside guy. He is, and that's where I think he's going to shine. You know, the Keon White thing is an interesting one. I actually have Keon White written down for somebody else. We're going to talk about it a little later. I think he's more athletic than Keon White, though, even more athletic than he is. It was a little different that way, but as we saw, Keon White had a damn good year last year for the Patriots and did a lot of good things. I can understand that comparison, but love the player. Love the physicality. Love the fact that there's, you know, there's another one where you see SEC football, you see dominant play, he can't be blocked, and you go, he really doesn't know anything. He doesn't use his hands. He doesn't have a spin move. He does nothing. Yeah. He's just doing it with his pure ability, playing hard, being tough. So, I'm excited for him. Got a chance to meet him at the Super Bowl, too. And it's Super Bowl, I talked to him. Combine, talked to him a little bit.
2 times.
Couldn't have been a better dude.
You think he goes first round?
Definitely.
Definitely.
I definitely think he's in the first round. Yeah. I think, like, I wouldn't be shocked. Like, 18 to 32 is what I wrote down. I don't think, like, again, I don't overthink this. This is one where I look at it and go, wait, no. 285, ran 4.9, right? Incredible arms. Nobody overpowers him. You know, like we talked about with Byron Murphy and you brought up, the bad plays are like stalemates. Like, it's like there's no bad plays. The bad plays are you go, okay, tie. You guys did a tie, right? That's all there is to it. He'll fit the NFL game instantly.
To your point right now, he is a projected late first-round pick, early second-round pick. He was mocked in the 4th or 5th round in December.
Gosh.
And then people saw him with his shirt off and said, you know what, that's probably late first round, early second round. So those two guys are in tier one. We closed tier one.
Yep.
They stand above the rest. These next guys are very good, but not in tier one. We start with tier two. This is impact players with caveats. Oh, so we'll have to make sure to get to the caveats on these guys. We got two guys.
They just got like they're not perfect, right? Where the other two I'm telling you
who amongst us is.
Well, I'm pretty close.
I know.
You're close. You're so same with my wife. She seems to be close.
Exactly. We both just seem similar in that way.
These are like the other two where I'd say, listen, I don't have many questions about them, right? Here, not that there's many questions, right? But there's just like one thing you'd go, ooh, I wish they could get a little bit better at this. Or there's one part of their game that you just go, they need to work on that. But still awesome. And I still look at both of them and go, they're first round talents for my money.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, both these guys you would
peg in the first round.
I definitely would.
Interesting.
I would, yes.
All right, so tier two, impact players with caveats. Your number three defensive tackle is?
Dwayne Carter from Duke, number 90, right? This is your athletic disruptive defensive tackle, right? That's what he is. Explosive, get off, disruption, right? You know, he's got a good-looking body. Is kind of a compact defensive tackle. He's not the space eater type, right? You know, he looks like when you turn on the film, you see him, you go, oh, he looks like the type that's going to win, causing disruption, shooting gaps, doing all that. Get off is really good. The movement is phenomenal, right? I mean, to me, it's more along the lines of Byron Murphy as far as the explosive, the bendability, right? The ability to be in a weird position, still overcome it, do all of that. That's where he is. He wins with, like, either winning with pure explosiveness, getting skinny, shooting the gap, or being so explosive that he gets on top of the linemen before they can even really get their feet in the ground, and all of a sudden they're just backpedaling, going backwards. That's what he really does, right? He's got very good bull rush, right? He's got a pretty good anchor versus double teams, though this is one of the areas you'd go, hey, it needs a little work. He's not the stoutest as far as when it comes to holding his ground against double teams or maybe a bigger offensive lineman every now and then. That's where it's not perfect, and that's why we put him in with a caveat to a degree, right? But has that play hard sellout mentality I talk about, right? He's a three technique, you know, who can do everything as far as that. 4-3 teams, I think, are going to really like him a lot. That's kind of what jumped out me at first. I got a few other thoughts, but I wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, let's get a little background on him, too, here, because he was just a three-star recruit coming out of high school, was actually a standout baseball player in high school. That surprises me.
Wow.
At 6'2", probably was not 302 at the time, but played 5 seasons at Duke. He was a first-team All-ACC this past year, was the Jim Tatum Award winner in the ACC for the conference top scholar athlete. So he's a smart dude, and he's a leader, too. 3-year captain the last 3 years at Duke, and so he has basically led that team. And that resurgence, they were very, very good this past year. So
hey,
he's a
these
part
three
of a lot
guys
of good
we're talking about, you can tell the game's important to them. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have to talk to a coach and go, Like Mozzie Smith, like we talked about last year, right? Yeah. I went, oh, there's things here where I'm not sure, right? And then we get closer to the draft, you kind of hear those things and go, yeah, that's effort and work and how tough he is. It is a thing. It kind of showed up on film, right? These three right here, this is like the ones we've talked about. They love football. You can tell. They're pissed when they get blocked. They're pissed if they don't make a tackle, right? They're emotionally invested in the game, and that always gives me confidence when you're watching film and evaluating that.
So his mock draft, let's look at this real quick, because I think this is interesting, and it leads to a couple of videos of him, too.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting for Dwayne Carter, because I think you're probably a little higher on him than the
sounds
consensus
like it. Yes.
Right now.
Right.
Because his mock draft has been like a roller coaster ride, basically. He was off the radar, and then you see it right around there in February shoot up to the top 50, and it's leveled off since then, but that was around the time, and Pete informed us, that the Senior Bowl was happening, and he stood out at the Senior Bowl.
Yes,
I think guys back there, Kristen and everyone, do we have his Senior Bowl? Because he
Michigan,
has a couple of
Michigan
reps here.
Getting dominated again.
Yeah, okay, well, that was rare. don't know why we showed that
rare.
One. But here, yeah, this is...
But this is what I was talking about. See how he's great get-off? He gets underneath people's body, right? Gets underneath their pads.
Yep.
You see this a lot on film. I mean, right? This is every game. His pop, his quicks, his explosion, the lineman can't get ready and get an anchor set in the ground, and all of a sudden he just takes him for a ride.
Okay.
Right? Incredible that way.
And this is against the Wisconsin offensive lineman.
See,
and he does the
similar
same thing.
Type of thing, right? See, so he's got to, what he does too is because he can win with quicks. Like on this one is a little different because see how he gives the little shimmy side to side as he comes off the line? So he gets the guy like, oh, wait, he's going to beat me with quicks. And then all of a sudden he hits you in the chest and you're going, oh, no, I was getting adjusted to go side to side. And this is the other angle. He is great at this. He's a guy here where, listen, you know, we talk about all the things he can do, defensive line. He's a defensive tackle, but he's also a guy where, like, I wrote him, he could play strong. You could go into a game and go, he's got to play strong side DN today,
mm-hmm.
right? He's going to have to pass rush, and he's going to have to take on the tight end, the tackle, and the running game and do all that. But, like, we're going to play him out there. He's got enough bend and first step and moves and things to work with there as a pure pass rusher that are really valuable.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to, you know, come in handy in the NFL.
Yeah, he messed up the game against Notre Dame for sure. He had 6 pressures in that game. 2 of them where he just bull rushed the center. He had one kind of like outside, inside, quick move off the tackle.
Yep.
Bull rush on the guard. Lined up at edge one time and just stunted into the middle of the line. Got another edge. He played against Florida State, too, and I was like, all right, I want to see a good game, Notre Dame. And then a game where he got zero pressures against Florida State, and I was like, what happened here? I do think there were a couple of plays where he could have been credited with a
game
pressure.
Was so good, right?
There was one where he busted through on a fake reverse and he flushed Jordan Travis out of the pocket.
Yep, right.
But there were so many quick RPO plays in that game, he just didn't have an opportunity.
Right.
But even in the game where he doesn't get credited with a quote-unquote pressure,
right.
He was still effective.
Well, and then what you do when you look at those games, you just look at it and go, okay, so what? Then Jordan Travis threw a quick over here. But, like, what did that initial get off, right? Like, you could still see on a few of those plays where you go, oh, they threw it really quick. You go, well, he's in the midst of dominating. That guard. That guard is going backwards. Just he doesn't get a chance to do it, right? So there's that. Now, like we talked about, he gets moved in the running game every now and then. They are a team, like we talked about a little bit, where they ask their guys to move and stunt a lot. Where I think you're going to watch and go, a lot of his bad plays, I'm going to go, this is hard. Like, I know we all want him to stop here in the gap, but they asked him to run really fast to this one area with a guy pushing him in that direction, and we're going, no, you should just stop in the gap there. That's rare, right? Yeah. So that's where one of the things I wrote in my notes is I think you're going to see some bad plays where I'm going to go, it's not really realistic to ask him to be good in this play. That's not fair to him there, right? But Justin Matabuke is kind of came into my mind as I was watching him. It's that type of guy, right? You know, and getting off the blocks, again, for a guy that's not extra long, and I don't look at him to be a two-gapper and all that, but when he was engaged with a guard and he saw the ball coming a certain way, man, he could throw people off or get off the block and get after the ball carrier at a really impressive rate. He really was. Loved the player. Really impressive in all areas. Very strong for his size. Uses hands well. Gets off blocks. You know, can two-gap if he needs to, but it's not ideal, right? He's a disruptive three technique who will be good in all areas. And I wrote Matabuke, Kobe Turner type of player, in my opinion, where it's not perfect coming out of college, but damn, there's some good. And you go, whoa, there's really some disruptive traits here. I really like Dwayne Carter. Yeah. And I would be shocked if he doesn't end up going higher than where he's projected right now.
Moldable clay. He has some good pedigree, too. Athletic family. His dad played wide receiver at Ohio State. His uncle played running back at Notre Dame. His grandfather played football and track at Youngstown State.
Holy crap.
It's in the family.
I didn't realize it went that deep.
Dwayne Carter, your number three defensive tackle, who you think you would take, if you were thinking about it, if you needed a defensive tackle at the end of the first round.
You're getting to the end of the first round? I definitely would be thinking about Dwayne Carter.
And so you're thinking about this with your number four guy, too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
If you need a defensive tackle, you're at the end of the first round, maybe this guy's an option. Your number four defensive tackle for 2024 is
Johnny, a.k.a. Jerzon Newton. Yes, Johnny was a good man. Yes, Johnny is the man. Johnny is the man. Now, this is a different kind of guy, right? This is a little bit more of the stout, power-based type of defensive tackle. Don't want to discredit him. He's still very athletic, right? Great-looking body, powerful, proportionate, right? Love his legs. Not as much as Byron Murphy's, but I really do like them, right? Good athlete, but not like Carter, who we just talked about, or Murphy from Texas. This is a little different here, right? He's not quite as explosive, not quite as bendable, and like going to win in weird positions, right? I think that's the big thing. You know, he's not quite as twitchy and quick as those guys, right? Mm-hmm. But his anchor versus a double team and stuff like that can be damn good. His ability to just overpower people, you know, it can be every bit as good as those guys in that department, right? But that's what he is. And then, two, he was asked to two-gap a lot. Unlike the other guys we talked about, he was asked a lot of the times, hey, hold the guy up, right? Just hold him in place and then see where the ball goes and disengage that way. Strong as hell, right? Really gets off the blocks well. Like, really can hold his ground as a run defender, right? He can play five technique like we were talking about with Darius Robinson, where he can just be like, hey, biggest tackle, biggest man on earth. Yeah. Don't worry. Let's
played
go at it.
Out there quite a bit.
Played it quite a bit, right? Well, a lot, right? Now, that's where, to me, you know, he can play a little high at times, a little more upright maybe than some of the guys we've talked about at this point. And that's where sometimes, like, every now and then you'll see a double team that kind of moves him, and I just go, well, he just got to learn to do it right. Like, he's not worried about it, but every now and then you see one move him because I think he does play a little too tall that way, right? But, you know, as a run defender, there's not much you're not going to like about him. And then, you know, still, even though I'm painting the picture of a little lesser athlete, I don't want it to be thought of as a lesser athlete. It's still a damn good athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, his ability to kind of shuffle sideways, laterally down the line of scrimmage and follow a run while people are trying to chop block him or get at his feet and get him out of the play, very good in that department as well, right? So that's where I really like him. And then, you know, as a pass rusher, It's push the pocket, but, you know, he does show a unique ability to kind of get on the edge of some guards, and then kind of like you go, damn, he's just going to kind of speed by this guy and, you know, have a little bit of a bend and get to the quarterback. And you could see it right there. I mean, again, he's an impressive human being. There's no question about that. He's taking on Iowa right there in the middle. And there's a – can we rewind that? Can we go back to that one if we possible? Because there he was playing like the five technique that we talk about so much, and I want people to watch and kind of see it, right?
Oh, look at this. In real
right
time,
here,
we're
real
rewinding.
Time, rewinding it. He's towards the top of the screen, right? That's good. You're good right there, right? You said he's the second guy from the top on the line of scrimmage. So go ahead. Let
lined
it play.
Up on the
right?
guard he's, there.
Yeah,
right?
Or right on the – maybe a four, right? But look, they down block him. He just throws the guy off, disengages, makes the tackle, right? You see that a lot on film. That's what he's very good at that. You know, his arms aren't ideal length for two gapping, but – he does it at such a high rate that I think teams are going to ask him to do it a lot. And you could see he is a powerful, stout body. There's the one where you see a little bit of the bend around the edge that's rare for a guard, right? So even though he's not as loose and as pliable as some of the other guys we've talked about, as a pass rusher, there's something there to play with for sure.
So there were a lot of pressures against the elite competition in the Big Ten, which is part of the reason why he was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. He was a first-team All-American this past year. He had seven pressures against Penn State, and they had a real hard time with him. He used his quickness a lot of the time there, kind of his patience, his smarts to kind of find a lane. Seven pressures versus Wisconsin. You just saw one of them right there.
Right.
And I thought I tried to write them all down, which ones they were. Quicks to power, I thought, early on.
Definitely.
And then good use of hands and swims to move around single blocks.
Yeah.
And so both those teams are known for having good, strong offensive lines, had difficulty with Johnny Newton.
Yeah, you know, they should. He's a player. I mean, he's a pure physical, powerful beast, right? That's where, you know, he's a little different than, you know, obviously different than Darius Robinson, who we talked about, but that's where I think he's a little bit different than Carter and Byron Murphy, in that I don't think you're going to get him as much and look at go, ooh, disruption, get in the backfield, just create chaos. This will be a little bit more of, hey, hold your ground. Hey, head up on this guy. Just power rush him and push him into the pocket. Do that type of stuff, and I think he'll thrive there, right? You know, I talked about it. There's really not a lot of negatives in his game. I thought balance and ability to anchor is not on par with Murphy, and that's, I think, just a little bit of the playing high and just being a hair stiffer than they are. Don't think he's the overall athlete that Duke and Texas kid are, right? But, you know, he is disruptive. He's strong as hell, right? I didn't think his eyes were as good as those other guys either, right? There was games where I'd watch and go, you know, I felt like those guys would get off that block and make that tackle. They would have saw it coming. There was plays in games where I went, oh, he didn't know that guy was going by him right there or didn't really see it. But, you know, still, damn good football player.
Yeah.
And I look at it like I wrote 25 to 40. And maybe I'm lower than the draft community. I don't really know exactly where he's at, but that's about where I had him.
Where consensus is right now, I mentioned about Murphy. It was like you saw the negatively graded run plays were basically double teams where he just held his ground. For Newton, the negatively graded run plays were plays where he did get moved by one single blocker.
Yeah.
You know, not even a double team sometimes.
Yeah.
And I did, like, one of the – I was like, all right, Indiana. They gave up 45 points against Indiana. And Indiana's not that good.
Right.
And he was kind of a non-factor in that game. And they handled him pretty well. And it wasn't just all double teams. And so that's where you kind of take pause. You're like, How did that happen? I don't know that that would happen.
Right.
With
like
Byron
that wouldn't
Murphy
happen to the other or the Duke kid, right? That's to me. You're thinking like me.
Yeah.
See, those are the things I nit. Like, again, these are all good players. We know that. So you got to nitpick a little bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's some of that where I really like this guy. Yep. But he's just not quite in the class of the top three because of what you said. There was a little bit more negative. There wasn't quite as much disruption and dominance that way. But, of course, still, we're talking about a big, special human being here who's very athletic for his size and no doubt a starting defensive lineman for your team, you know, in the near future here.
Little medical concern with him. Had surgery in January for a partial Jones fracture in his foot at the combine. He told you guys that he would be working out at his pro day, but he was not able to do that. And who knows? Maybe he was playing with some of that last year, too, when he was still the first-team All-American, so.
He's got a sneaky, powerful stride to his running that I thought that was, to me, one of the things that really jumped out. You talked about the bend and getting around the edge a little bit and doing that. You know, like one of those two, like we talked about this with Dallas Turner, right? A little every now and then we go, well, it doesn't look that fast, but you go, damn, he's getting around this guy, though. And you realize, like, man, it's a big, powerful stride that covers a lot of ground that gives him the edge to kind of, like, turn the corner a little bit on a guard in a short area. That's pretty impressive, all right? He's a specimen. There's not a lot of negatives about the guy. Johnny Newton, Illinois, number 4.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
That closes Tier 2 of impact players with some caveats, and now we go to Tier 3, and one man stands alone in Tier 3, which is kind of cool, right? Would you rather be in a lower tier alone or in a higher tier and have to share it with someone else?
Yeah.
It's a debate that will rage on for years to come. Tier 3, physical needs molding. So this is like a ball of clay. You like the physical specimen. You need more refining. Your number 5 defensive tackle is?
Rook Ororo.
Rook Clemson.
Rook Ororo.
And we swear to God we're saying this right too, because and we have no authority in this case because we say names wrong all the time.
So I'm embarrassed, and I say them in practice well, and then when it comes time to say it, I can't say it. I don't. It's like amazing how I choke under the pressure.
He told everyone all the H's are silent. Just remember 3 rows, like row 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 your boat.
Right.
So row.
Right.
Sounds ridiculous.
We are
right. And he plays. It's not ridiculous. He plays like a
no,
like a
he will row your ass gently down the stream in a hurry.
Not
right?
Gently.
Not gently. He will push your ass down the stream. You better watch out. I mean, this is one of the, to me, this is why I love the evaluation processes. I love turning on a guy that I haven't heard anything about or whatever, right? Got no love. And I turn on and go, what? This guy? Who is this human being? Right? I mean, that's the first thing. First off, he's got a great-looking body. He's 6'4", 294. He's got 34-inch arms. He ran a 4.89 at the combine. He has a 1.67 10, right? Those are some of the good edge pass rushers. Had 1.6s and 1.66 and one. I mean, you know, not the top-tier guys, but as we went down in honorable mentions, you start to get into those numbers. At 294, right? That's incredible. Right? He's one of those guys, Ahmed, I turned on the film and I went, wait, he looks like a defensive end. Are we sure he's a defensive tackle? Like, if you told me oh, he's 6'4", 275, and he plays the end. I would go, yeah, okay. But then you look at it and you go, man, whoa, he's pretty dense. Damn, those are some legs. Whoa, he's 294, right? Great legs. Love his upper body and arms. Rocked up, long arms, right? Guy that, again, got to watch the film and ask yourself, he was playing out of position. Like we talked about with Byron Murphy, right, a little bit. A row was playing nose tackle.
Yeah.
Okay? At 294, playing nose tackle. They were asking him to be the most physical strong guy on our defense against ACC offensive linemen, and he was incredible at it. Now, that's not what he's going to be in the NFL. He's a three technique, right? But what that does show you is he has the pure power and incredible power for the coaching staff at Clemson, who's seen Dexter Lawrence and those type of guys, go, you could play nose tackle like Dexter Lawrence, even though he outweighs you by 50 pounds, right? He is really good. I mean, moves really well. You got to watch some tape here now because he does not get – if you just watch some games, you're going to go, well, damn. I mean, all he did was hold the guy up all game. I didn't really get to see much, or I only got to saw one or two plays of him doing something where they just unleashed him, right? But as you start to watch and you continue to watch, you start to see some of those plays, and then you go, holy shit, he's really quick. And – he gives guards, when he's given the green light, the pass rush, a guard or that, he gives them big issues in pass protection, right? He's got the great power we talk about, but he's got the quicks to win that way, and he plays them off each other because there's not a lot of moves in his game. He's a little bit like we talk about with Darius Robinson. It's kind of just like, I'm here, and I'm going to overpower you, right? And he does the same thing. So he gets you a little like this, and then he jams his arms in you. Or he acts like he might come in and bull rush you, and then he beats you with the quicks. But, like, the quicks are quick as hell, right, for 294. And he moves people backwards on the regular off the ball. When he gets allowed to just explode and they go, hey, don't hold the guy up, don't two-gap. I mean, on contact, the guy blocking him goes backwards every time, right? He's got incredible, like a Darius Robinson, that first-step explosion and his ability to shoot his hands and hit you with them, I thought were really impressive, right? You know, but, like, this is not just big, strong guy. Like, he showed the ability to shoot some gaps and be disruptive and do that. Again, he wasn't always asked to do that, so you don't get to see it all the time. And that's where I kept, like, you know, I started to get run out of page here because I was like, oh, man. I started to go, whoa, wait, he does do this. Oh, wait, oh, he did answer this question. Oh, no, like, he's awesome at this, right? And really impressive. One of the surprises of the position for me, for sure.
Late to football, didn't start playing football until his junior year of high school. Emigrated from Nigeria to Michigan when he was 8 years old. How did he get out of the state of Michigan? Went to Clemson for 5 years, became a starter in 2021 after Brian Breesy was injured there. So didn't play as much because he was behind some of those guys like Breesy, who was a first rounder last year, right? He was at the end of the first round.
Saints.
Yeah, to the Saints. That's right. So Aroro, according to NFL.com, can get distracted by individual battles sometimes. Need to keep his focus trained on pursuing the ball, making positive plays. But he does have that nasty streak in him. And I looked at, for like big plays, one against Notre Dame, it was like 4th-and-10, end of the game, minute to go. Did he step up? Overpowered the guard, Pat Coogan, who like held him, but he still was able to overpower him and got to Sam Hartman, affected the throw, and basically ended that game for Clemson. And so it's just like the big moments. He's got that nasty streak. I kind of like his attitude.
He definitely has the attitude, right? He's definitely got the nastiness in him for sure. You know, one of the things I wrote at the end, I wrote, you know, I bet you Joe Walt was impressed with this kid. Joe Walt got matched him against him and couldn't move him one inch, right? Not to say he dominated Joe Walt, but it was like, wait, here's your top 7 pick of the draft. Here's this kid. He's not outclassed by Joe Walt in any way at all, let alone the rest of that O-line, which is pretty good in there at Notre Dame. He had moments of whooping their ass a little bit, you know, like our guy at Duke did. So, yeah, you know, 29 benches of the bench with 34-inch arms. I think that explains a little bit, right? The get-off, the length in the arms. Like I said, he moves people backwards, right? You know, he can be disruptive. His anchor versus double teams is insanely good for his size. Again, he anchors at 294 like I see guys that are 345 sometimes. I go, well, he's immovable, right? He's not as loose and as pliable as the top guys. He's
so
a little more
I'm searching for why he's not in tier two for you. Like, yeah, what are the limitations?
I think it's loose and pliability, a little of the out of position, not totally sure exactly what he is. And then you alluded to this, you quoted somebody because, you know, I wrote, he doesn't have the same instincts and eyes into the backfield as the top guys have. Mm. He definitely will get into, wait, you hit me and I'm going to beat your ass. And it's like, no, the guy's running by you right now. Don't worry, you can beat his ass next play. Make the tackle, right?
Yeah.
He definitely can get a little caught up in that. There's no doubt about that. You see that. So that to me is like the learning of the game, the out of the position, playing out of position, being a little stiff, not sure, not getting that evidence to go, wait, he gets to do this all the time. I got to see a ton of snaps. I know it. I'm for sure, right? The other guys, you get to see them at one spot and know for sure at a lot of the time. So there was a little of that. He was a guy that I actually wrote reminded me of Keon White a little bit. That is who he reminded me of. But, you know, played out of position, one-on-one pass rush. He is awesome. Bull rush is great, right? He's got good quicks too. Really good football player. I wrote 28 to 48. I know that's high. I know it is. I mean, I understand that, but
so he could be a steal. I mean,
I look at him and just go, wow.
You describe them exactly how your tier is labeled. Physical needs molding here, but you feel like once he gets that and he's late to football, so it's just like he'll
learn some hand fighting, right?
You know, doesn't always happen.
Gets like, the hunk. Yeah, it doesn't always
happen. Doesn't always all come together.
No. Gets to hunker down at one position a little bit and learn that nuance instead of like, wait, coach, I play this position, but wait, you want me to do this and learn this? Oh, all right. Wait, I'm just getting good at this. Oh, wait, no, it's third down. Now you want me to go back to my position that's good? Oh, wait, it's a big play. Now I need to go back to the other position that's good? Oh, you need. So that's hard, right, for a young guy that hasn't played football.
Yep.
We'll see. My money would be on, from what I see on film, as far as intensity, physicality, importance of the game, that he's going to be a guy that's going to thrive in the environment. And so we'll see where it goes.
That's why he is in your top five, which we have now completed. Morgan's got the graphic ready to go. They've looked great this year, Morgan. Well done separating the tiers and the different players.
Way to go,
top
Morgan.
Five. Byron Murphy, Darius Robinson in tier one.
A lot of orange. There's only one orange that counts, though. It's burn orange at the top.
Yeah, that might be surprising, though. Some people thought you might have a couple of burn orange in there. We talked about Devondre Sweat a little bit off the top here.
Yeah.
Ted J. Rowland says, last year a defensive tackle was selected in the top 10 of the draft. What is the highest spot you can see this year a DT being selected? So ultimate highest ceiling.
Yeah.
You said kind of 12 to what?
Yeah, 12 to 20, 20 for 25 Murphy.
Like, what's the absolute highest? Is 12 the highest?
I think that's kind of where I would see it going. You know, Denver at 12, which I don't expect them to do that, but yeah, that's where I at least can see a possibility of it.
Okay.
Right? Hey, Jalen Carter last year, let's not get this and forget about this. Jalen Carter was the number one player in the draft. Like, Jalen Carter, if he doesn't get in the car racing thing and all of that, is going to be the number one pick in the draft last year. Everybody has to realize that. He was very special. Like we said at the top of the show, it was week three, and I was going, I think he's the best defensive tackle in football already, right? So that's different. There's nobody like that this year, right? But, yeah, I think generally that's kind of where I look at it. 12, 14, 15, somewhere in there starts the Byron Murphy draft.
But there's some depth because you also have some honorable mentions kind of in your Robin Hood
some
or just the
ones.
Guys that have just missed the cut here who were in consideration, I'm sure, at some point to being in your top five.
Definitely.
Let's start with Ohio State, the Ohio State University.
I kind of make a top five as I go along, right?
Yeah.
So I'm always, like, doing it. If I've watched 10, I write it down on a piece of paper when I get done with the first 10 and go, okay, here would be my top three or four from this group for sure, right? So I kind of keep a running list. The first guy, Mike Hall from Ohio State.
I liked him a lot.
Damn, right? I mean, he's kind of a surprising guy, I think, when you kind of break him down.
Yeah. There was a play against Maryland I was watching where he was like a man possessed. He was just like came in there like knocked over the center and then went over and three steps later like knocked over Taulia Tagovailoa, the quarterback.
There was a time I thought where I was like, is this guy going to be in my top five, right? Is he going to be? I mean, he was fringe for sure. 6'3", 290, 33.5-inch arms, right? You know, like you're saying, bouncing off people, loose, bendable, can win in the awkward positions that we talk about, right? Right? Plays hard, great motor, right? Total, one of my favorite as far as disregard for his body, like you were talking about there. You're kind of, you emphasize that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm big into that. You know, again, life's not going to be perfect in the NFL. You're going to be getting blocked and be in a weird position. It's going to be third and two, and Derrick Henry's coming up in the middle. Are you going to go out there and put your body on the line and make the tackle? Or are you going to kind of go, oh, that's going to hurt. He's going to just have to get the first down, and maybe I can make a play next play. There might not be a next play. Mm-hmm. Next play, that could have been a touchdown now that you didn't dive in front of, right? Yeah. Who knows? So I'm big into that. I really am. Takes on double teams well. I talked about the balance is incredible, right? Not in the ground ever, right? That's big too. You can't be on the ground and be a defensive tackle. If you're on the ground as a defensive tackle, right, one, you're an injury liability. Two, you're probably going to trip somebody else on your defense who's trying to make the tackle on the guy on the ball. Nobody wants the guy on the ground, right? There's now an area voided that the coach can't, like, make up for. So that never happens, right? You know, gets knocked around like you talked about and still holds his ground. Incredible eyes in the backfield. Like, incredible, right? He might not have a lot of wow plays, but the best thing he does is he doesn't have any bad plays. That's the thing I wrote. You know, very consistent, reliable player. You know what you're getting. Has the ability to be a real pain in the ass as a pass rusher in the NFL. Has bend, has good quicks, and good power. I really like the kid. The more I watch them, the more I really started to like him, right? Starting three technique in the NFL, never bad play. Under the radar, really good. And I wrote 35 to 55, 40 to 60 as far as the range I see him going in.
He also played in the bowl game against Missouri. I like that.
Yep.
He seems slippery out there too at times, right? And he can be unblocked.
Yes.
Like, they don't even get a finger on him. He's just quick and slippery.
Definitely. That's where, you know, again, the versatility, three technique, five technique, you know, hey, line up out here, but shoot inside and now become, we line up a DN, now shoot inside and we're going to kind of have you play D tackle, but do that. I think he could do all of that. I think he could do it at a really high level. Yeah, he was one of my pleasant surprises of the process.
Now, this next guy would have been in your top five if his father had not done something to you in the NFL. So do we have that picture here, guys? Gabby and Kristen back there. Do we have the picture of our next person here? He is a Michigan Wolverine player who I think should have been in the top five automatically based on that. So here's Chris Jenkins Sr. That looks like an uncomfortable position, and it was for you there and then thereafter.
I think I've already been hit. I think I've already – the damage has been done. I honestly think Thomas Davis is bouncing off of me right there, right? I think he's already hit me, and he's actually bouncing off.
So this is the moment that you basically said goodbye to your spleen.
This was the moment for sure, right? That's why I'm making that weird face, because I think I've – like I said, I threw the ball away. I was throwing the ball away. I knew Thomas Davis was coming.
Yeah.
I was going to kind of throw and turn my shoulder and take the hit. But as I got extended to throw the ball, Jenkins got me from behind, and I ended up getting even more stretched out to where, I'm pretty sure this is post – hit. Thomas Davis has hit me and now is bouncing off of me.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? And that's why my face is like, oh, something got smushed in there.
Yeah.
And then the next play in the huddle, I was literally like,
yeah.
Because I had the wind knocked out of me times 20. And the next play, I had Michael Clayton open on third down for like a 20-yard gain. And it's like my abdomen was in spasm or something. I threw it like 12 yards and skipped it to him. Like, I couldn't get my body to lean up and extend.
I mean, as many times as you tell that story and talk about it, it still is crazy
to
hear it, how just it happened.
And, yeah.
Thank God you're here.
Thank
and you're
God
able
I'm here.
To rate his Chris Jenkins' son not in your top five.
Let me say this. I told you this before the show. This was the first time personal bias crept into my brain the whole draft,
right?
Because I like the kids so much. First off, I have so much respect for his dad. I don't care that he took my spleen out or not, whatever.
To be clear, personal bias, you almost put him in your top five because you liked him so much.
I like him so much.
Yeah.
I got tremendous respect for the dad. The dad is like really one of those guys we talk about a lot who's a great player that we all forget about because he wasn't in the Hall of Fame or not on a Super Bowl team where I go, he was like one of the best interior D linemen in football for a few years in a row, right? But yeah, Jenkins is an amazing human being. Jenkins, I loved being around Chris Jenkins Jr., right? He is phenomenal that way. But, and again, certainly a top 50 pick in the draft, Definitely. But just know, to me, didn't merit a first round status, right? It's a lot of good, a lot of good, right? It's consistent good. I don't know if there's ever any great or wow, right? No, so that's what I think you're getting, again, a guy that's very safe as far as the draft is concerned.
Sure.
The floor is high. I just don't know if I think the ceiling is incredibly high. We'll see where it goes. His combine numbers are more athletic than what you see on film at times, right? And we'll see. Maybe the NFL unlocks him a little bit or he takes it up to a new level. Really like the guy, though. And, again, three technique, five technique, can play strong side defense and going to be able to do all that type of stuff.
Yep.
He's bendable. He's flexible. Like we talk about, the bad plays, right? They're really not bad. They're not. It's just stalemates, right? So, but as far as the wow factor, maybe not on par with some of the, you know, top guys of the draft.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He's kind of hard to evaluate, too, because Michigan played with such a rotation on defense this year is that all these guys were fresh most of the game. The most snaps he played in the game was 40 against Alabama.
44, I was going to say, yeah.
And I watched that game against Alabama, and he held his ground, shed blockers really well. And what I noticed again from watching that game is Alabama holds. I was like, they hold. They all hold. I said that before, and I think they did it again. They are cheaters. So Chris Jenkins in your others receiving votes category. Now, this next guy has gotten a lot of love at the Combine. I think I gave him the Big Butt Award. Braden Fisk got out of Florida State. He's like a late riser. Doesn't have the prototypical size and arm length that you'd want. In fact, it's a bad. It's a negative. He's like in the third percentile for arms, fifth percentile for wingspan, but you wanted to give him some love here in your honorable mention.
I did, because, I mean, one, you said it. I mean, there's some athletic attributes that need to be brought up here. I mean, when you just, like, if you talk about, like, whoa, who's that guy that just got off the ball? Whoa, that was a disruptive play. Like, Braden Fisk would be up there with some of the top guys in the draft. The problem is, like we always talk about, the bad is bad here, right? The bad is almost sometimes, like, it's almost like cartoon bad, where you're like, whoa, they're like taking him on a ride down the field, and he's 8 yards down the field now, right? Now, he throws his body around, he plays hard, right? But I think the reason I can't make him a top five DT is, yeah, the inconsistency that way. I mean, you saw it. I mean, again, you don't need to watch much to go, whoa, wait, that guy just got a hold of him, and he's literally 6 yards downfield. Or, whoa, it's a double team, and he's on skates, right? All right, that's going to scare people. He's one of these guys, too. It's like he's 6'4", he's 292, he ran a 4.78, he ran a 1.68.10. That's all, like, top-notch. I don't think you can consistently play him at D-tackle in the NFL, at least not at first, right? Maybe you play him on maybe you play him at five technique. Yeah. Maybe you'll play him at strong side DN. He is so athletic that I think he could play literally 3-4 outside linebacker. Like, he could do that. I would be like, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. I mean, he's not there. There's lesser ones out there, you know. So that's the problem. But he is, like, his good plays are they're a lot of fun to watch.
That's
interesting.
He's
explosive and as crafty as it gets as far as just being disruptive at times.
So I put here, like, his super part. You're like, you're right. Like, you just see him get dominated sometimes on double teams in the run game, single blocks. But, like, his superpower is almost like the ability to get through tight spaces, like, find his way. He's not going to overpower.
Get skinny, get sideways.
Exactly.
And you go, whoa, he got through, right?
And he has closing speed. So, like, in the ACC championship game versus Louisville, he played really, really well.
Right.
And when he has a beat on the quarterback, like, he has a good – he like, all the other defensive tackles, you're like, well, that quarterback's going to pull away.
Yeah, yeah. It's no, like he'll chase him down.
For sure.
Yeah, or make him run him to the sideline to where they got to throw the ball away.
If he can get in the proper position, it's like, then he can make some plays.
Definitely.
But it's like, how often can he get in those?
I feel like early on in the NFL, because he's top heavy, right? He doesn't have great legs. He's kind of around the belly heavy, like that kind of look, right? Right? He's got that, you know, little Fred Flintstone-ish type of like body and even running style and how he runs, right? But yeah, it's the top heavy, getting off balance. You said it, double teams, wrestling matches, that not his best things. I think when he gets to the NFL, you got to play him, you know, strong side defense at end on first and second down. Let him be that guy out there, right? Maybe he can work on his anchor, get better at some of those things, hand fighting, all that as far as a D tackle. And then maybe on passing situations, you move him inside, right? I think that's generally how I would look at it, right? But there's no way defensive line coaches in the NFL are going to watch Braden Frisk and go, I want him to start a three technique, right?
Yeah.
I promise you, if you do that, the team they're playing is going to run for 200 yards running right at that three technique, right? Yeah. So that's where he's got some work. But, damn, there's some stuff you like about the explosive athlete.
Opposite category, you got Tavondre Sweat from Texas, who you did, who you don't have in your top five,
nope,
but you do want to give some love to. And let me just say this right away, because I did see some questions on this when you tweeted out that you were going to talk about defensive tackles.
Right.
He was arrested for a DWI in Austin on Sunday afternoon. Daniel Hinshaw 5 wants to know, like, what round would you draft Tavondre Sweat after his alleged DWI? And so these are questions that are tough to answer, but your rating of him here is disassociated from anything
yes,
off the
that's
field.
Right. I mean, that's going to hurt him. Let's just be sure here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, getting a DWI 3 weeks before a draft, right? When, like, it's part of the litmus test. Like, don't screw up during this time of the year, right?
Yeah.
No, we're watching you. Can we trust you? Can we invest money into you long term, right? Are you going to do the little things to be a pro? Between this and then him not weighing in at the Senior Bowl, right? Those are two things that everyone's going to go, oh, gosh, how serious he is about his game, right?
Yeah.
He is a gigantic human being, right?
What are the actual numbers on him? Is it 360?
It's 366. 6'4 and a half, 366, 33 and a quarter inch arms, right? 5'2", 7'40", 1'8", and the 10, which is still, these are good numbers for that size, right? But,
yeah,
you know, it's, I guess when I turned on the film, and I heard Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, right? You just think, okay, well, I'm going to see something pretty special here, right? This guy, I'd heard a lot about him. I was thinking it was going to be Vita Vea, Sexy Dexy, right? Jordan Davis, who we talked about. It's not that. And that's why he's not in the first round conversation. Those guys were elite athletes to go along with being almost as big as Tavondre Sweat, right? They were probably 345, right? He's 366. But they were different that way. This is not an elite athlete that way. This is more of your true, what we started the show off, traditional, we want a nose tackle, you sit here, you don't let anybody move you for 16 weeks in a row, just stop the run, right? He's that guy. That's who he is, right? So, but, you know, there's things that you want from him a little bit more, right? I'll go into, like, again, not to say he's Mozzie Smith, but there's things about the Mozzie Smith comparison since his name came up today,
yeah,
where you'd go, yeah, there's plays where you'd go, I want a little more. Can you throw that guy off you? You're big and strong. You shouldn't just let him block you like that. Shouldn't be content being blocked right now.
The frustrating thing is that there are some times, like against Oklahoma, like this center, like he was like dominating him and made the center. It was like man amongst boys there. I was like, wow, that's impressive. There's just not
there's
a lot
few
of
and far
that.
Between.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly right.
Seems kind of slow getting off the ball, stands right up.
That's one of the things I just write. The movement of the player, there's no urgency or violence in the game.
Yes.
Right? There's got to be some of that. I didn't see anger. I didn't see intensity that way, right? You know, he pushes guards, but it's not like wow, right? His get off is just, you know, average, I thought. You know, and then add that to not violent, strong hands, right? There's just not a lot of domination that goes on there. Not that he loses a lot, but you just go, man, I'd like a little more domination for what you have against this guy that's blocking you, right? But a true space eater, right? I wrote not in the same stratosphere as Sexy Dexy or Vita Vea or Jordan Davis, right? You know, Sweat is an okay mover, but doesn't have the twitch and explosion those guys have. Too many plays where he's content being blocked, not nasty, no fight. Even with double teams, you know, gets moved a little too easily at times.
Yeah.
Right? That's where, again, I'm going, wait, this is the Defensive Player of the Year, and the guy over here has made 75 plays and nobody can move him in Byron Murphy, and he didn't get Defensive Player of the Year? I don't understand that, right? He is loose and pliable. He can definitely do some two-gapping, as we know, right? He is the typical guy. Is the NFL environment going to bring his level of intensity and focus and all that up, or is he going to melt away? That's where it's going to be really interesting to see, right? But, you know, there's, like you said, I wrote at the end, there's pieces where you go, whoa, that's really good. But then you watch another game and you go, I didn't see that the whole game. Where did that four plays from the Oklahoma game go? Here we are, it's Iowa State. It's like, it's nobody. There's nothing going on. What's going on? How does that be, right? So that's going to be the big question about him going on. And I think then you add the DWI and the weight concerns a little bit.
Right.
I think like Tavondre Sweat, I think before the DWI, I wrote down 50 to 70 or 55 to 75. I think probably now you're talking about early fourth round, somewhere in there. I think he falls out of the first 2 days of the draft.
Because it, just the nature of his, who he is and kind of more nose tackle, he's only going to affect a game like right in the middle of the field. And,
he's the old school thought, which is right with this one.
And so you've got to die. If you're going to only affect the game in that small of a circle, you really have to dominate the game in that small circle.
Exactly right. Like those other guys, that's where, I think they missed out. Everyone just thought, oh, they'll just dominate in that game in a circle. And not that I'm patting myself on the back or whatever. I think some missed or whatever. It's just that, no, they had more, right? I mean, they could rush the passer. They're athletic. They can shoot a gap every now and then, do all that, let alone be dominant in that little box against double teams and all that. No, you don't see that. And, hopefully he can get all things straight in his life and with that. And still have a successful NFL career.
One more name that you want to throw in there from Oregon. No, this is just me being on Twitter too much. Brandon Dolrus from Oregon. There was this tweet from Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl there, and he said that based off what teams are telling us, Dolrus is a virtual day two lock because he's got potential to eventually be a double-digit sack guy. And he looked pretty good at the Senior Bowl and those practices, one-on-one drills, too. What did the tape tell you?
Day two lock, for sure. I would agree with that. He's a little bit like the Braden Fisk conversation we just had, right? Where you go, wait, for his size, and let me pull him up, right? You know, because he's...
What is it? Doorless? What
did Doorless, I say? Yeah.
Oh, Doorless.
Doorless.
Brandon Doorless.
He's one of those guys, for whatever reason, that's listed as a defensive end, even though he plays more D-tackle, right? And 6'3", 283, I mean, he's extremely explosive and athletic for that, right? He moves well.
Yeah.
The thing will be like this. It's a little bit of – he's not a wow edge pass rusher, right? He's a wow inside rusher. But not a wow edge rusher to where I go, oh, wow. I mean, you let him line up offside and him like, no. And then on the inside, even though he's a wow pass rusher in there and he is an athletic mover, you wouldn't trust him against a run, right? That's going to be the thing. So he's going to be specific to where it's like, hey, maybe first and second down we play him at defense end. Third down we can move him inside. Or, hey, we're not worried about him holding his ground against the run. We just want him to shoot a gap and cause chaos and maybe be like Michael Bennett from the Seattle Seahawks a few years ago, right? Maybe that's what he'll be, right? Is that guy. But I couldn't say he's a top five D end or a top five D tackle. He's a little bit of a tweener that way. Like a Braden Fisk, I think you're going to have to worry about, hey, let's play him on the edge a little bit early on. And in certain situations, we'll play him inside as he gets better at double teams and anchors and stuff like that. But, damn, there's definitely some stuff.
There's some good stuff.
There is definitely some stuff.
There were a couple of times I was like, is he just not fast enough? Is he getting tired? Does he not have a great motor at times? There were some times where I'm just like, maybe Oregon's, scoring too quick on offense, and these defensive guys are playing too many plays.
What I would call, muscle up a little bit, too. That would be one of the things I would look at. Again, more times than not, when I look at these guys and go, oh, the body's not real hard and ripped up and muscular, you know what those guys usually do? They run out of stamina, right? Byron Murphy came out of this womb swole. Yeah. He never fucking runs out. I'm watching Michael Penix. It's play 67. He's still busting through the line of scrimmage, getting after Michael Penix, right? So, yeah, that's where, I feel like maybe what you're talking about, because I saw that too, right? And I there's a little bit of a gets worn down or lethargic at times, and you just want more that way.
So that's it. Those are the names to know for defensive tackle in 2024. Chris Sims thinks potentially four of those guys could go in the first round.
I think
at most.
Yeah.
If the over-under was 3.5, would you say?
I haven't had conversations with anybody really about these D tackles yet. Like I've told you in the past, usually this is – I don't call my friends going, hey, tell me about the D tackles.
Yeah.
They want to hear me talk about the D tackles, and then they get involved in the conversation. But they're not going to try to go, hey, Chris, you know who I really like? I really like this guy. I got to kind of state myself and show where I'm at. And then we talk. But I haven't had D-tackle conversations with any of my NFL friends yet. I'm interested to see the feedback I get here.
It's an interesting spot because behind quarterback, it's like the elite ones are getting paid a lot, like $25 million. Like that's more than any other defensive spot, yes? I mean, what's the top corner making right now?
22, 21 in Jair Alexander, somewhere in there,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, no, listen, this is the way the NFL is right now and how multiple it is, right? Chris Jones can play DN, nose tackle, three technique, five technique. He can do it all. There's no supplanting or, you know, what am I trying to say? Supplanting that? That's not right. Well, you can't deny that. How about that?
There's no denying it.
And, hey, I had this conversation with Florio today, too, right? I mean, again, you get into the best teams in football, they got big people. They're good up front, right? You talk about the Ravens. What do they got on both sides? Number one seed in the AFC. That's right. They got it all. You talk about the Chiefs. They got it on both sides. No doubt about it. You talk about the 49ers or the Lions. They got it on both sides, right? Big people on both sides of the ball. It's imperative. And, you know, and I think, you know, we're seeing the Philadelphia Eagles. Why do we say they're an all-star team? Well, I don't know. They have a fucking never-ending list of big people on both sides of the ball. So it's a very important part of the game, and I think it's going to show this year in the draft.
And I think this is true. And I think we can do one more thing with this because I think this brings up a good question from a Carmageddon 4. One more thing brought to you by Columbo, streaming exclusively on Peacock. We got to make sure that's still true. Is Columbo still on Peacock?
Yeah.
We've been doing this joke for a while. We're going to double check that. Go check Peacock. It probably is on there. Carmageddon 4 says, is a top-tier defensive tackle more important than a corner?
Yes.
Especially in a zone scheme.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. It's top-tier defensive tackle just has such an effect on the football game now on an every play basis. It doesn't matter. I mean, again, like the guys we've talked about today, first, second, third down, it doesn't matter. They're all there. You got to deal with them. And then they're a pain in the ass in all things. Oh, we want to run the ball. Oh, damn, we got to block Jeffrey Simmons. Hey, we want to throw the ball. Damn, who are we going to get to block Jeffrey Simmons, right? I mean, it's they change game plans, right? Aaron Donald, nobody played man-to-man on the Rams when they won the Super Bowl. Why do you think they were so – they played zone and they went, let's just make the quarterback try to read the coverage and pat the ball. And by the time he's getting ready to pat the ball, Aaron Donald will have him on the ground, right? You know, that's where it is. And I think, you know, again, I think we talked about it there. You talk about, again, the better teams in football, you know. You guys are probably one of the few teams that didn't have an elite D tackle play as far as like disruptors out of the top teams in the league.
But Aleem McNeil played really,
really,
really well.
Good. Yeah. He's a stout guy. You got a lot of good there, but not like an elite. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a big time position of importance right now.
A couple other streaming services also have Columbo.
Research
has shown us so far, but Peacock is the only one where you can stream all 10 seasons, so it's all in one spot.
So he's really all ours. Okay,
it's still the best place to be, and it's where you can get Chris Sims Unbuttoned.
Yep.
And you can watch PFT live in the morning, and whenever you get those clips on there. And there's a lot of good stuff on Peacock.
I think our Chris Sims on Button is going to be airing right after PFT, but it's streaming on Peacock for the whole week, right?
So it is?
Dan
Patrick took the week off.
So it's all Chris Sims on Button.
Wow.
I hope you did good in those last shows. I don't know. We'll see.
If I'd have known that, I would have worn a shirt and tie.
All right, everybody. I hope everybody enjoyed the D-tackle ranks. Great class. I mean, again, we got some positions in this draft that are deep for sure, and some real players. Send in the questions. You know, we got a few more position groups to rank, go through. I think we've hit the main ones.
We have.
You know, I don't think we're talking about any first round safeties or linebackers this year in the draft. No running backs in the first round this year. Tight ends, we only got really one we're talking about here.
I think we have one player who we haven't talked about, Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers.
Who could go in the first
round.
That's
the only guy we haven't hit on yet, right? So I'm definitely going to start watching some of that in these other position groups, and along as hitting some other miscellaneous guys. Keep sending the questions. We know we love the involvement. Everybody be good. We'll be here. You're here Wednesday?
I'm here Wednesday.
All right, good.
Amon's
working this week. Great. Good to hear it.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Be good. Have a good next few days. Peace out, homies. Clap it up.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.